Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? So good to see all of you here, especially if this is your first time coming to The Rocks. You are a very, very special guest. Our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. We believe there's nobody perfect. There's nobody in this church who is perfect. And we believe that you are at the right place here this morning, regardless of who you are, what your spiritual background is. You may not even be a Christian. It doesn't matter. We believe in a God who is gracious, who is forgiving, who is loving towards us. That's why we gather here every Sunday. It is to celebrate that grace and that forgiveness in our lives that God has made available 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And that grace is available to any one of you who wants it as well. So welcome to church, everybody. I also want to welcome our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in today. Well, as Sid has said, we are in the second week of our series, Bad Girls of the Bible, and today we need a lot of help from God. I need a lot of help from God, so I want to lead us in a word of prayer one more time as we seek God to guide our time together. Father, thank you so much for being here in our midst. Your word says, when two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst of us. And we believe that you are here right now, Lord, even though we don't see you, but in spirit you are here. And Lord, when you are here, something great is going to happen. God, for whatever reason that we came to church today, I know that you want us to be here. You drew us to this place. So God, speak to us. We're ready to listen to you. Help me, Lord, to be clear so that we can all be inspired by the truth of your word. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Several years ago, I read a story about a boy by the name of Thomas Thompson. He was an 11-year-old primary school boy who took an overdose of painkillers and in the process killed himself. His mom, Sandra Thompson, said that he was a kind boy, he was a well-mannered boy, he was an intelligent boy. But kids at school relentlessly picked on him, calling him names like Fatso, gay boy, and so on. And he couldn't take it anymore. And one day he took those pills and in the process killed himself. Well, we all know that labels are very dangerous. That's why a few years ago, a group of people who called themselves people of the second chance, they put out this really disturbing images that I want to show you right now. I want to give you a warning first, though, because these images are very extreme. They're R-rated, so if you are squeamish, if you are you have a faint heart, maybe you don't want to see them. But these images were done on purpose to show how dangerous labels can be. All right, here we go. You know, at one point or another, we've all been on the receiving end of labels. Maybe your teachers at school gave you labels. Your parents, your coaches call you names like ugly, fat, slow, poor, depressed, good for nothing, loser, worthless, whore, alcoholic, criminal, deadbeat, stupid, and so on. Maybe you don't kill yourself, but do you know that millions and millions of people all around the world, they live a subpar life, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, because of the labels that they had in their lives? Many Christians struggle with a lot of things in life. They have identity crisis. They have self-esteem issue. They can't get rid of bad habits. You know why? Because of labels that they have in their lives. And this morning, we want to learn from a girl who knows all about labels. Her name is Rahab. Now, before I read you her story in Joshua chapter 2, let me tell you a little bit of background about Rahab. Rahab knows all about labels, as I told you before. Every single time, well, most of the time, when her name is mentioned in the scripture, her profession is written next to it. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the prostitute. That's how she's known all throughout the scriptures. Her lifestyle is evil. Her job is to sell sex. But I couldn't think of a better person to be the perfect example that anyone can move past their labels, that anyone can move past their past and have a new beginning. Rahab is that person that we want to look at this morning. She is the second bad girl of the Bible that we want to see. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. But before that, I want to give you a little background. She lived in a city called Jericho. If you don't know where Jericho is, it's in Palestine, in the West Bank area. That's where you can find the city of Jericho. And Joshua, under the instruction from God, was told to attack and to occupy the city of Jericho. Why? Because the people of Jericho were they were really, really bad. They sacrificed their children to appease their gods, for example. They were really, really depraved. And Rahab lived, her house is embedded into the city wall. So she is very strategically located, if you like. She's very conveniently located. A lot of people from within the city of Jericho can easily find her, and visitors coming to the city can easily find her as well. And I believe Rahab is very, very popular, especially among men. And Joshua, following the instruction from God, sent out two spies to spy out the city. So we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. This is what it says. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. And the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. So this is where the story got really, really interesting. Rahab had a choice to make. And for the reason that we don't yet know, Rahab decided to risk her life and defy the king's order. And in those days, you don't defy the king's order without fatal consequence, right? So we don't know why, but Rahab decided to lie. When the soldiers came to her and asked her, where are the two men? Rahab lied. I don't know. That's the modern version. This is what she said. The woman had taken the two men hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. So here was a prostitute, right? She was not a Jew. She was not the person that you would want to live in your neighborhood. You wouldn't want your husband or your children to hang around her. And yet, she risks her life to save the people of God. That's what she did. Nothing short of amazing. And then she went up to meet with these spies before they went to bed. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Now, there's more to this prostitute than meets the eye, let me tell you. You can tell that from the very beginning of her monologue, which is what we're going to look at together. She said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Now, the word that she used for the Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Let me tell you why this is special. Let me tell you why this is important. Yahweh is a special term used by the people of God to address their God. Yahweh is a covenantal name of God, all right? The people outside of Israel knew of God as Elohim, the great almighty God, impersonal God. But when God introduced himself to the people of Israel, he introduced himself as Yahweh, a God who wants to have a relationship with his people. And here, Rahab, a non-Jew, used a very personal name of God, and she said, I know that Yahweh has given you this land. Now, this is both amazing and, at the same time, ironic. You know why I say this ironic? Because, again, here was a prostitute, a non-Jew, all right, a woman who was knee-deep in sexual sin, and yet she had more confidence in the God of Israel than even the people of Israel. Can you imagine that? Before this story, you know, 12 spies were sent into Canaan, and 10 of the spies came back saying, no, we can't take this land. You know, oh, they're too big, the giants in the land. And yet, here was Rahab, right? She said, I know, without a shadow of doubt, that Yahweh has given you this land. My theory is, she had even more faith than even Joshua. Because if Joshua was totally confident that God was going to give them the land, why did Joshua feel the need to send out spies? You see, I believe Rahab had an even stronger faith than Joshua. She said, I know the Lord had given you this land. We continue. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you to come when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Listen to this. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. So Rahab is saying, I've heard about you guys. You are bad boys. And I heard about your God as well. And here's what I come, you know, my conclusion is this. Your God is the one true God. And I don't come into that decision lightly. I've seen, I have heard about what your God can do. He parted the Red Sea for you. He did these amazing things for you. And I know that your God is the real one true God, the God in heaven above and on earth below. And then, this is what she said. It's very important. She said, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. If you read this too fast, you will miss it. All right? If you are a Christian, it's good. You know, I believe the Bible is so easy for us to understand. God gave us the Bible not to confuse us, but God gave us the Bible in order for us to understand what He is all about and how He wants to deal with us. But from time to time, it is good to use different tools, commentaries, right? Different tools available to us, especially if you don't know the original language, to know what God is saying. Now, let me tell you, the word that she used for kindness is a very special word. It's a very loaded word. The word that she used for kindness is often translated loving kindness. It is the Hebrew word chesed. You have to say it gutturally. Chesed. It means loving kindness. The word is central to the Jewish ethics and Jewish theology. It is a common term used to describe God's special relationship with the people of Israel. It's a covenantal love of Yahweh. That's what chesed means. In other words, Rahab is saying to the people, to the spies, to the soldiers, hey, I want to be under the covering of God. I know something is going down, and I choose to leave my culture behind. I choose to leave everything that I know behind, and I choose to instead to put my faith and my trust in the God. I want His chesed. I want His covering. You know, it's like an umbrella. You know, when it's raining outside, you take out an umbrella. The umbrella doesn't stop the rain from falling. The umbrella stops the rain from falling on you, right? So Rahab said, I want this covering. Please protect me, protect my mama, protect my dad, protect my family. I want God's loving kindness to be shown to me. And if chesed, if loving kindness is what she's after, loving kindness is what she's getting. God decided to listen to her and save her eventually, her and her household. But Rahab's story doesn't end with just the Old Testament. Her name is all up in the New Testament. Do you know that? In the New Testament, there's a special section in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, there you can read what we call the Hall of Faith. You know the Hall of Fame? There's a basketball Hall of Fame, rock and roll Hall of Fame, and all that. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith. There you will find all the heroes of the faith, the great names that you can think of that become, you know, people who become heroes of our faith, people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Elijah, Samson. You know, these great heroes of the faith, their names are listed in the Hall of Faith. Guess whose name is on that list? That's right, y'all. Girlfriend made it to the list. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now, I don't think you understand how huge this is. I don't think you understand. We have this great man of faith, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and all these guys. And then we have a prostitute. We have a harlot. Rahab's name is up there with Noah. Noah, the guy who built the ark. Her name is up there with Moses, the guy who delivered people from Egypt. Rahab's name is up there with Abraham, the father of our faith. Can you imagine that? But this is what I don't understand. You know, if God is so kind toward her, why is it, you know, every single time you breathe the name Rahab, you have to call her a prostitute, right? Give a girlfriend a break. The prostitute Rahab, I don't get that at first, but then as I thought about it, I understand why. God, on purpose, left the label prostitute next to Rahab's name, not to rub it in on Rahab, is the exact opposite. God wants you and I to know that He is in the business of providing chesed. He's in the business of providing loving kindness to anyone who wants it, regardless of their background. Regardless of their background. You think about Rahab, man. She had all kinds of labels on her. First of all, she was a woman. In those days, women were treated as a second-class citizen. They were like treated as commodity, basically. That's label number one. She was a Gentile. She was a non-Jew. She was an alien. She was a stranger. And then, that's label number two. And then, worst of all, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute, a hoe. So three strikes against her, and yet, how many of you know God is in the business of turning defeat into victory, turning shame into glory in one shining moment of redemption? How many of you, God is in the business of doing that? God wants you to know that no matter what you've done, no matter your past, no matter the labels that you put on yourself, the labels people put on you, God is in the business of changing lives. In fact, all of us who live on this side of the cross, we live under what we call the new covenant. We live under the covenant of grace. More than ever, the way God deals with us is through His grace. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, all of our sins can be forgiven. You see, all of us are in the same boat. The story of Rahab's redemption is a wonderful story, but it's one of the many stories in the Bible that points to a bigger story of redemption. See, several years after Rahab's story, Jesus Christ was sent by God to deliver all of us. We are the Rahabs of this world. No matter who you think you are or what you've done, let me tell you, God says, I have forgiven you from all your sins. You just have to believe me. Listen to this. Come, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though as they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. How amazing is that? That's not all. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. No more, God says. I will never remember your sins no more. How about Psalms 103? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If the devil comes to you and reminds you of your sin, ask him to go east. That's where you can find my sin. Go east, devil. Go far. He'll come back to you and say, can't find it. Go west. Go. Maybe you'll find it there. No. That's how far God has removed our sin from us. But that's not all. Do you know that Rahab is not the only, not only is she in the hall of faith, but I believe that Rahab is also a great teacher of our faith. Because in James chapter 2, I told you, you know, you can't get rid of this girl. She's all up in the New Testament. In James chapter 2, this is what it says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? And then James gave an example. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, a lot of Christians read this portion from James and they got confused. Either they think that salvation is not by faith alone, salvation is by works. By the way, if you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, we Christians believe that you can't earn your way to God. You can't earn your way to eternal life. You can't earn your way to salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. That's what Paul wrote, right? So people who read James, they got confused. Like, does that mean salvation is by works? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, you see, Rahab was saved, right? Was delivered. But here it says, by work, Rahab was considered righteous. So which is it? See, this is what James is trying to say. Okay, everybody pay attention. This is lesson number two. Faith is demonstrated by your action, not by your discussion. All right? It is demonstrated by your walk, not by your talk. Okay? Walk by faith, not talk by faith. That's what God wants from every single one of us. So what is it? What does that mean? Does that mean that James is not talking about genuine faith? You know, is he talking about people with like fake faith? Or is he talking about salvation by works? No, neither. Let's pay attention. First of all, he wrote to the Christians. All right? How do I know? Look at that. Brothers and sisters. So he's talking about genuine faith. If someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? He's not talking about salvation unto eternal life. He's not talking about, you know, going to heaven. That matter is settled. Eternal life is about just trusting in the finished work of Christ alone on the cross. That is settled. All right? But if you claim to have faith and you don't exercise that faith, this is what James is saying, that faith cannot save you in the sense that that faith will do nothing to you. Remember when Peter was about to drown? There was a story during the time of Jesus. Peter saw Jesus walking on water and he wanted Jesus to ask him out of the boat. So he started walking on water, but he started drowning. And when he started drowning, what did he say? Jesus, save me. It's the same word, sozo, in the Greek. What is he saying? Jesus, take me to heaven? No, save me from drowning. That's what Peter is saying. So he's not talking about eternal salvation. And that's why James can use Rahab as an example. And he says, faith without work is dead. See, just because something is dead, listen up carefully. Just because something is dead doesn't mean it's not real. Let me say it again. Just because something is dead, it doesn't mean it's not real. All right? Let me ask you, is a dead person a real person? Yes, of course. What's the difference between a live person and a dead person? A dead person is not effective in anything, right? A dead person can't make any difference to his family, can't make any difference to his church, can't make any difference to his society. That's what James is saying. You know, if you claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, that may take you to heaven, that may give you, gain you eternal life, but guess what? If you don't risk that faith, if you don't exercise that faith, you're good for nothing. Dr. Tony Evans says this, when you move, you demonstrate faith. When you demonstrate faith, you'll see God move in history. See? Your faith may take you to heaven, but God cannot move in your life. God cannot do anything in and through your life if you don't choose to move and demonstrate and exercise that faith. You follow? See, here's the deal, right? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that very moment, God gives you all the grace that you need. All the grace that you need. You don't need to ask for more grace from God. Do you know that? At the moment of salvation, you got all the grace that you need. That's why God says, my grace is sufficient for you, right? It's enough. It's more than enough. Now, what you need to do is draw from that grace that God has already given you. How do you draw from that grace? You draw that grace by faith. When you exercise faith, you suck grace into your life. You got me? When you exercise faith, when you walk by faith, you are, downloading God's grace into your life, right? That's why Rahab, her name is mentioned in the Hall of Faith. You know, come on, it's going to require a lot of grace for Rahab to be in the Hall of Faith. And that's what it means. But that's not all, you know. I'm excited for girlfriend and all, it's great, but that's not all. When Joshua finally defeated Jericho, Rahab stayed with the people of Israel. She became one of them. And this is what I imagine happened. After Joshua defeated Jericho, Rahab stayed with the people of God, and she signed up to JewishEHarmony.com, and she met with a guy named Salmon. That's right. He's not a fish. He's a man. He met with a guy named Salmon, and Salmon decided to marry Rahab. You know, when God redeems you, he redeems you fully, right? Not only did God redeem Rahab spiritually, maybe she never imagined in her wildest dream someone would want to marry a prostitute like her. But no, Salmon decided to take her as a wife. But that's not all. They had a child together. His name is Boaz. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, listen to this. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Do you know who is the great-great-grandmother of King David? The great-great-grandmother of King David is Rahab. It's Rahab. Do you know why Matthew 1 is there? Matthew 1 describes the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because Jesus comes from the line of David. So Rahab, get this, church, Rahab the prostitute is the great, 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 great grandmother of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How good is that? What a story of redemption. Let me tell you. You don't have to live by your labels. You can create a lasting legacy in this world if you choose to exercise your faith. Faith that is not exercised is dead. is good for nothing. But when you move with the Spirit of God and exercise your faith, you can create history in this world together with God. Two applications as we wrap up our time together. First is this. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to receive God's loving kindness toward you. You know, God loves you more than you ever know. You are not who you say you are. You are not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. Forget about all those labels that you put on yourself, that people put on you. You're not who you say you are. You're not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. And God says, you are my child. You are my prince. You are made in my image. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, here's the application for you. Exercise your faith. Come on, take a risk. Whether or not you exercise your faith, it will not affect your eternal destiny, as I told you before. Salvation is only by grace through faith. But when you choose to exercise your faith, it will affect your earthly legacy, right? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? There's a reason why the people in this church, we sacrifice our hard-earned money, we come here early to serve you. There's a reason why we use our talent, our time, because we want to create a legacy in this world. Not for our sake, not for our own fame or glory, but we believe God has a wonderful plan for this world, and God wants to use us in our area of influence in this community to bring people back to Him. I want Robin to sing us this song as we close, and I'm going to come back and pray for us. As we listen to this song, I hope you are grateful for who you are in Jesus Christ, because you're not who you say you are. You're not who people say you are. You are who God says you are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.